Your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter number 18, Luke chapter number 18. We're going to be looking the next two Sunday mornings a little bit about prayer, because that's where Jesus is teaching a little bit about here in Luke chapter number 18. And I think you'll learn and grow from both messages. If we listen to what the Word of God says and how we obey the Word of God, we can grow in our Christian lives. And in Luke chapter number 18, it's a very important principle that the Lord is trying to get across to his disciples. You say, how do you know he's talking to his disciples? Because he tells us that in Luke 17. At the end of Luke chapter 17, we've gone through a portion of Luke 17. We'll come back, sometime in Luke chapter number 17 as it talks about watching for his return and his second coming. And in Luke chapter number 18, he's still talking to his disciples and he teaches them an important truth about prayer. And that is to be persistent with your prayers. And that we should pray and we should always be praying and have a state of praying. And this says in Luke chapter number 18, he says, and he spake a parable unto them referring to the disciples. There were other Pharisees, there were other people that were there too, but he's specifically speaking to them, saying, to this end, men ought always to pray. And that's the title of this morning's message, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So he's beginning his parable here, and he was teaching a precept in verse number one that men ought to always pray and not to faint. So he gives them an illustration. Here in this illustration, you see in verse number two, there is a judge here, and this is a wicked man. Not only is this a wicked man, he is also a man who could care less what anybody else thinks. You say, why do you call him wicked? Because he doesn't fear God. Secondly, because he has no regard to man. Verse number three, and it says, and there was a widow. Now, we've got to remember the widows back in that day and time were someone who many times could be taken advantage of because they did not have an advocate or they did not have someone that was fighting for them. If you go and do a study in the Bible, the Lord speaks a lot about widows and the fatherless and that how he is the one that will fight for them. And here in verse number three, there's a widow in this story. It's a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And this widow has something that's going on. We do not know exactly what's going on, but she is asking the judge to avenge her from her adversary. It says in verse number three, there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And it says in verse number four, and he would not for a while. For the most part, it seems like he kind of blows her off, doesn't want to listen to her, doesn't really have time for her. Back then, sometimes the judicial system was a little bit corrupt. And unfortunately, today, sometimes our politicians and sometimes our judicial system can be corrupt. But in this time period, you're thinking of a judge, you're thinking of somebody who was in a big building, and it's someone who would come there and find justice. But the judges back then many times were tents, and they would go on a circuit, and they would ride and take their tent, and they would act very regal, and they would act very thinking that everybody needs to listen to them and whatever they say is law, not interested in justice. He did not want to listen to the widow. He did not want to avenge her from her adversary. But it says in verse number four, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. So the judge didn't care about what the widow had to say, had no interest in helping the widow. But as the story goes along, the widow continually comes to him. And you get this idea that the widow is someone who's there and gives the connotation that she's always around and she's coming to him maybe while he's at work, maybe while he's at the market, maybe while he's at his house. She is continually coming and continually coming and continually asking for the judge to take away her problem. In verse number six, the Lord makes a comparison here. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect? And he makes a comparison versus the unjust judge and God. And towards the end, we're going to look at this comparison of what the widow was trying to get accomplished with the judge and how we have ability to pray with God. And he says in verse number seven, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? This morning we're going to look at this thought, men ought to always pray. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you and we understand our need. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, you've spoken in your word, and Lord, you've given me the privilege and opportunity to be able to pray, but all over this passage, but also to speak about it. And Lord, I want your wisdom and I want your leadership. Lord, I want the people to be able to hear the things that you want them to hear, and I want them to be able to respond to them. Lord, God, we need to know how to pray better. Lord, we need to be better prayer warriors. Lord, help us to learn from this story what you're trying to teach your disciples, to be persistent. Lord, help us to be persistent. Sometimes it's easy to give up when we don't see our prayers answered like we think they should be. But Lord, in this prayer and in this parable, you speak and say, we ought always to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So point number one is the precept before the parable. The precept before the parable. So what are you trying to get at? The precept. What is he teaching? What is he trying to get across? What is he showing? And what is he demonstrating? He wants to teach them something that is an important lesson that we need to learn as Christians. Now, the next 2 weeks, especially this week, is talking about prayer. We have access to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have access to God and able to pray to him. And that's not true unless you are someone who truly knows him as Savior. I believe the first prayer that God really hears from an individual is one when they see themselves as a sinner and in need of a Savior, and they call out to God for salvation. Here you see a precept, and you say, what is he trying to teach these people? He's saying he's trying to teach them men ought always to pray and not to faint. So I want you to see the confirming of the precept. You say, what do you mean the confirming? There's something in this passage of Scripture that God is expecting them to do. Well, what is he expecting them to do? You see that word ought. In that word ought, he is expecting that people will be praying. He is expecting that people are going to be praying. The word confirms the first few words of Luke chapter 18 are actually a precept or a command about praying. Christ is not giving them an extra assignment. He's not giving them extra work to do. He's saying men ought always to pray. This is something God's intending us to do. If man pray, he's not saying when you pray, because he knows there's going to be a time. Christian, do we pray? It is one of the greatest blessings you have in your life, as one of the key pillars in our Christian lives. And Jesus is just trying to teach his disciples that, look, when you pray, you ought to pray. Here's the point is, do we pray? There's a consistency that's necessary here. And he's saying, not only are you just supposed to pray, you're supposed to be persistent in your prayer. The next thing you see who it's written to, not only the confirming of the precept, you see the crowd for the precept. He uses the word men. Men ought always to pray. Now, this is not just saying that you have to be a male to pray, or this only applies to a male. No, he is speaking to that this is given to the entire crowd. He's speaking that everyone ought to pray. And you see the curtailing of the precept. The courts of the land are doing just the opposite that Christ exhorted us to do. They are trying to stop prayer in many places. Christ said we ought to pray, but the courts say we only should pray in certain places and certain things. You also see the continuance in the precept. He says not only men ought to be praying, not men should be doing this, but they should be doing it always. Now, how many of us really truly pray always? There's a lot of things that stop us from praying. Sometimes we get discouraged, and we're going to look at that in a second. Sometimes there's a ceasing in the precept in the fact that it says not faint. But the continuous in prayer means that we should have a scheduled prayer time. It's something that we should be continuously praying, but it's something that we should do on purpose and for a reason. And we should do it throughout all seasons, and we should do it in a spirit of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing. You say, Pastor, that means every minute of every single day we should be on our face before God praying. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying that we should have a heart and a spirit and a mind where we're having an open conversation with God, and God is always in our heart, and God is always in our thoughts, and God is always in our minds, and we are continually praying without ceasing. You also see the ceasing in the precept, and this is something I like to spend a few minutes about. You know, some of the reasons why we don't pray. He comes to us and says, men ought to always pray and not faint. But there are some of us that struggle with this. There are some of us who struggle with our prayer lives. This is one thing I'd like to be better at. I'd like to be a better prayer warrior. I'd like to be someone who would pray more. When I read this and I see the Lord say, hey, men ought to always pray and not faint, he's saying to us, it's important that we learn how to pray, and it's important that we learn how to pray persistently. It's something that should always be in our heart and always be in our mind. So why don't we? Here's a couple of reasons. The first thing why people cease from praying is defilement. Defilement. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin will not only deafen God's ear to our prayers, but it will decline our interest and effort to pray. If we struggle with sin and we give in to sin and we allow our lives to be defiled, you guess what? We're not going to be as interested in praying. We're not going to be as interested in what God thinks because we want to live our own way. Defilement is one of the reasons why people cease from praying. Another thing is doubt. Many times people who are not praying is because they do not have the faith to do it. By faith is our theme for this year. And when we pray, we must pray with faith. The Bible says, let him ask in faith in James 1:6. Unbelief does not promote prayer, but it stops it. Unbelief does not promote prayer, but it stops it. You see, prayer, sometimes we don't pray because we're more interested in our sin than what God thinks, or that we want God to hear from us. Secondly, many times we doubt, and because of our doubts and because of our lack of faith, we don't see a purpose of praying. We give up. I know we come to this spot and we see persistence in prayer. Some of us have been praying for something for a very long time. Some of us have been praying for something and been praying maybe for years. And sometimes our faith wanes and it lacks, and we stop praying. Another thing that stops us from praying is danger. Sometimes we're afraid, and because of the dangers of this world and things that are happening around our world should cause us to go praying, but instead it causes us to stop praying because our fear takes place of our faith. And we are more worried about considering our fear than praying to God in faith to help us with our issues. Another thing that stops us from praying is distractions. Distractions. The devil is a master of this. How many of us have tried to sit down and pray and we get to our hearts and get to our spot? We got the right spot. We might even have a right prayer list. And we carve out some time during the day and we begin trying to pray only to be distracted by something. Only to have the devil bring something else in our mind. Or only to have our phone ring. Or only to have a knock on the door. Or only have something else. You know, one of the reasons why we don't pray like we should is because of distractions that we allow to come into our lives. Distractions is something that the devil is very good at. And we can become so busy with the cares of this world that we ignore our prayer time. Another thing is delay. And few things are a bigger cause for fainting in prayer than a delay in the answer. You know, he says men ought to always pray. Sometimes because of our sin, we stop praying. Sometimes because we want the answer quicker, we stop. Sometimes because of a lack of faith, we stop. Sometimes, many times, it's because of the distractions of this world that we stop. So the first thing I want you to think about is the precept before the parable. Second thing I want you to see is the people that are in the parable. The people that are in the parable. You see this widow who's crying out. You see this widow who her demand is just to have her problem brought before the judge. She says, avenge me and my adversary. You see, she's at a disadvantage. Her disadvantage is that she does not have a husband to speak for her. She does not have someone that is fighting for her. She has probably no money. In this day and culture, the widows were someone who were very, very poor usually. And she had no money to help get her, get the bribe maybe, even if she wanted to, or to pay off to get the opportunity for the judge to hear, because sometimes the judges were wicked. And she was there, and she was determined, and she kept on going to him before and continually over and over, and she was desperate. She had no other hope but for this judge. And then not only do you want to see the widow that's crying, but you see the judge that is cold. The judge that is cold. You see this man, it says in verse number 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. He was cold to the woman's needs. He was cold to what the woman was asking for. He was cold, and the fact that he did not care about justice and doing his job, he did not care about God. He didn't care what man thought about him. And you see, this man was corrupt. This man was calloused. This man was condescending. And the only reason why he was willing to help this woman is because of the fact that he was worried that this woman was going to bother him. Look what it says in verse number 5, "Yet because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continually coming she weary me." He didn't do it because he thought it was the right thing to do. He didn't do it because he thought it was the best thing to do. He says, "I'm tired of seeing this woman. I'm tired of hearing from this woman. And she continually wears me down." This word trouble means to come forth to beat another or to cause another trouble. And he's saying that this woman continually beat him down to the point that she finally said, "I will finally help this woman." The third thing I want you to think about here is the promises from the parable. The promises from the parable. And the promises that were found in the parable here, first thing I want you to see is that what God's response or Jesus' response. Verse number 6, "And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith." And he brings the comparison, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them?" There's some promises here I want you to see here. He says, first of all, in verse number 7, there is a promise for the persistency in prayer. "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night?" The wicked judge settles the widow's case because of her persistency. And how much more will a holy God answer the prayers of them that pray persistently? You say, "Well, Pastor, the comparison there is the judge, and you're saying because the widow kept on going and kept on going and kept on going, that's the only reason why he answered her prayers." But it's the comparison. What's the difference about God? He's saying he wants us to be persistent. Well, the difference is that you have an unjust judge that has no time for the widow, but you have a lovingly heavenly Father. You have a heavenly Father that loves you. Over here, you have an unjust judge that is corrupt and could care less about man, could care less about God. But over here, you have a heavenly Father who loves you. So when he says, "Pray without ceasing," he's saying, "Hey, I want you to come to me, but you don't have to come to me like the widow came to the unjust judge. I want you to come to me persistently. I want you to continue to cast your cares upon me." But it's not like going to a judge who could care less about you. You're going to a heavenly Father that loves you. It's not a man that is callous and a man that is corrupt. You're going to a righteous heavenly Father who loves you and has demonstrated his love for you. You see, the promise for passion in prayer says, "Cry day and night unto him." The fervent prayer will get God's attention. The Bible says the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If the widow's fervency moved the wicked judge to action, how much more will the fervency of his own elect move God? You know, if you have something that's on your heart and you have something on your mind, just as the widow kept on and kept on and kept on, will cause the unjust judge to finally render a verdict. He's saying, if you will be faithful and you will be persistent and you will continually come and continually come and continually come to God with your needs and your heart's desire, how much more is he going to listen to you? If the unjust judge was willing to, and you have a lovingly heavenly Father, he's going to come to you and he's going to answer your prayers even in a greater way. Also, you see the promise for patience for prayer. You know, some things that we learn from this passage of Scripture is we don't always get what we want. He says here at the end, of verse number 7, "though he bear long with them." This may seem like a contradiction of the previous promise, but which involved a delay. This may seem like a contradiction in the idea that God, in verse number 8, he says, "I tell you, he will avenge them speedily." But there's no contradiction here. There are times when God will say yes, there are times when God will say no, and there are times when God will say wait. In our prayer lives, many times we are trying to get our will done down here in this earth. But what God is trying to do through our prayer lives is get his will done in our lives. Sometimes we're praying to God, "God, I want this. God, I need this. God, give this to me." And God sometimes is doing a work in our heart and doing a work in our mind that we don't even know. And as we are praying, as we continually pray and persistently pray, God will continue to reveal things and reveal things about yourself and reveal things about the situation to help you and guide you and lead you. And he says, men ought to always pray and faint not. You must continue on praying and God will do a work in your heart. Instead of you getting your will done up in heaven, God will get his will done through you here in this world. Next thing you see, there is a pace, the promise of a pace for prayers. It says, I tell you in verse number 8 that he will avenge you speedily. You know, Pastor, what do you mean? You just said here that sometimes we have to wait. The point is, God is able to do our prayer just like that. He can do it speedily. He can do it quickly. He does not need a certain amount of time. He does not mean, hey, look, I will help you, but I can't do it right this second. That's not how God works. And when you're praying, you don't have to say, well, maybe God was busy or maybe God is waiting. Maybe God, no, God can answer your prayer and God can do it speedily, just like the unjust judge could render the verdict and could do what was necessary and be able to fulfill the law. God can do that just like that. And so when we're praying, it's something he says, men ought to always pray. And there's a promise that if we're persistent, God will hear us. If we're passionate in our prayers and if we're patient, that he will answer those prayers when it's time. Now, this next phrase is a promise of the problem for prayers. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So there's a question here. And this question, it implies an answer, and the answer is not good. Because at chapter number 17, they talked about how the Lord was coming back, and he says, when he comes back, will you find faith on the earth? Will he find you praying? Will he find you faithfully praying? It's the point is God going to truly find, when he comes, is he going to find you being faithful? Is he going to find you listening? Is he going to find you praying? If God came back today, what would he say about your prayer life? I know as when I look at this and understand this and I see the implications here, I see a cold-hearted judge denying a widow woman in her great need. And Jesus is saying, consider that when you go to God, that's not who you're talking to. When you go to God and you go before him, you're going to God and you're not going to a judge that's corrupt. And you're not going to a judge that doesn't care about you. You're going to a heavenly Father that loves you. Do we pray like that? Not only are we going to a heavenly Father that loves us, the widow had no one that would speak for her. But who do we have? We have an advocate. We have Jesus Christ who will fight, who will be our advocate. Then you also think about the judge inside. Back then they would have a tent and there would be a judge here and he would have assistants. And the only people that would be allowed to come into the courthouse, people could sit on the outside and watch, but the only people that would be allowed to come into the courthouse was the people that were invited in to present their cases. The amazing thing is we have access to God. The unjust judge could pick and choose who he wanted to listen to, but the Bible says that we have access to God and that we have access to God all the time. The amazing thing is he tells us that we can come boldly unto him in our time of need. The judge didn't want to hear the woman's need at the time of need, but he says we can come boldly and we will find grace in our great time of need. So if the Son of Man came back today, would he find faith on the earth? Would he find faith here? Our prayer lives could be revitalized. Our prayer lives could be changed if only we would learn to pray always, having a heart and mind that says, God, I know you love me. I know you care for me. I know you have my best interest at heart. And Lord, by faith, I'm going to continue on persistently praying. Jesus wanted to teach them that men ought always to pray. And something we need to do persistently. And something we need to continue to come to him. And continue to come to him. Because he is a lovingly heavenly Father that cares for us and that loves us. Would he find faith here inside our church? Inside your house? Do we believe enough? Do we believe enough to pray? You go back and you consider some of those things that stops us from praying.